Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Grown Ups Read Princess Stories. I'm your host, RPJ, and this is the first episode of Season 4. Now, we will be doing things a little bit differently this season. Normally, what happens is, each week, a different grown-up reads a fairy tale or a true story for all of you. This season, it's just going to be myself. Because of the pandemic and because of safety, and because we are still acquiring those stories from people, we are recording them and holding on to them. I just don't have enough for a full season at the moment, and I didn't want to delay any further. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a fourth season, and it's going to be myself reading as many of the Brothers Grimm fairy tales as I can. Now, there is a lot. There's over, I think, 250 tales. There's been different interpretations. There's been different edits of them. I have a ton of these stories, and I'm going to read a bunch of them for you, and then we're going to talk about them afterwards and discuss some of them. And then in the fifth season, we'll go back to all the other people reading these stories for you. But until then, you're stuck with me. You're just going to be stuck listening to this voice. But I'm going to try because, you know, in the past, people sometimes did voices and sound effects and other things like that. And I'll try and do voices. You know, you never know. Maybe I'll just do a straight read. Depends on my mood. That's how this works. So how about we just get into it, right? We don't need to delay any further. We don't need to do one of those 20-minute intros and talk about MeUndies. Plug, they're not a sponsor. Okay, here we go. So today I'm going to be reading for all of you a story that you probably don't know as well as some of the other Brothers Grimm's tales. It's a short one, but it's a really interesting one, and it's called The Companionship of the Cat and the Mouse. So, without further ado, here's the story, and then afterwards, stick around, and we will chat about it and talk about some of the history behind it, whatever history there is. The Companionship of the Cat and the Mouse. A cat had made the acquaintanceship of a mouse and had talked so much about his great love and friendship for her that he eventually convinced her to live with him in the same house and set up a common household. "But we must get supplies for the winter," said the cat, "or else we'll starve. A little mouse like you can't venture just anywhere, for one of these days you might get caught in a trap." They acted on this good advice and bought a little jar of fat, but they did not know where to put it. Finally, after long deliberation, the cat said, "I can't think of a safer place than the church. No one would dare take anything away from there. Let's put it under the altar, and we won't touch it unless we really need it." A little jar was safely stored away, but it was not long before the cat felt a craving for it, and said to the mouse, "I've been meaning to tell you, little mouse. My cousin gave birth to a baby boy, white with brown spots. I've been asked to be godfather. I'm going to hold him at the christening. Would you mind letting me go out today and looking after the house by yourself?" "No, of course not," answered the mouse. "Go, for God's sake. If you don't get something good to eat, think of me. I sure would like to have a drink of that sweet red christening wine." Naturally, none of what the cat had said was true. He did not have a cousin, nor had he been asked to be godfather. He went straight to the church, crept to the little jar of fat, and began licking and licking until he had licked the skin off the top. Then he strolled over the roofs of the city and contemplated his opportunities. After a while, he stretched himself out in the sun and wiped his whiskers whenever he thought about the little jar of fat. It was not until evening that he returned home. "Well, you're back," the mouse said. "I'm sure you had a wonderful day."
"It wasn't bad," the cat responded. "What name did you give the child?" the mouse asked.
"Skin off," the cat said dryly.
"Skin off?" exclaimed the mouse. "That's a strange and unusual name. It's common in your family."
"What's there to it?" the cat said. "It's no worse than Crumb Thief, as your godchildren are called.
Shortly after that, Cat felt another great craving and said to the mouse,
You've got to do me a favor again and look after the house by yourself. I've been asked to be godfather once more, and since the child was a white ring around his neck, I can't refuse.
The good mouse consented, and the cat went slinking behind the city wall to the church, where he ate up half the jar of fat.
Nothing tastes better, he said, than what you eat yourself.
He was very satisfied with his day's work. When he returned, the mouse asked, What was the child's christened?
Half gone, answered the cat.
Half gone? You don't say. I've never heard of such a name in all my life. I'll bet it's not on the list of proper names. Soon the cat's mouth began watering once more for the delicacy.
All good things come in threes, he said to the mouse. I've been asked to be godfather again.
This child's all black and has white paws. Aside from that, there's not a white hair on his body. That only happens once every few years. You'll let me go, won't you?
Skin off? Half gone, the mouse responded. Oh, those are really curious names. I'm beginning to wonder about them.
Look, you sit at home in your dark gray fur coat and your long pigtail, the cat said, and you begin imagining things. That's because you don't go out during the day.
While the cat was gone, the mouse cleaned the house and put it in order. Meanwhile, the greedy cat ate up the rest of the jar.
It's only after everything's all gone, the cat said to himself, that you can really begin to rest.
It was very late at night by the time the cat returned home, and was fat and stuffed. The mouse asked right away what name had been given to the third child.
You won't like this one either, the cat said. It's all gone.
All gone? Exclaimed the mouse. That's the most suspicious of all the names. I've never seen it in print. All gone. What's it supposed to mean?
She shook her head, rolled herself into a ball, and fell asleep.
From then on, no one asked the cat to be godfather. But when winter came, and there was nothing more to be found outside, the mouse thought about their supply of fat and said,
Come, cat, let's go to our jar that we've been saving. It'll taste good.
Yes, said the cat. You'll enjoy the taste just as much as if you stuck your dainty tongue out the window.
They set out on their way, and when they got there, the jar of fat was still in its place, but it was empty.
Oh, said the mouse, now I know what's happened. It's as clear as day. Some nice friend you are. You ate it all up when you went to be a godfather. First the skin, then half, then...
You better be quiet, yelled the cat. One more word and I'll eat you up.
All gone, was already on the tip of the mouse's tongue.
No sooner did she say it than the cat jumped on her, grabbed her, and devoured her.
You see, that's the way of the world.
Now, normally at this point in the podcast, we would give you a moral of the story. The reader would say, and of course the moral is... And they would come up with a moral. But I want to ask you what you think the moral of this story is. Because at the very end, it's pretty dark. And it says, that's the way the world is. What is the writer trying to say to us? Are they saying... That's just the way it is. A cat's a cat and a mouse is a mouse. Are they saying that the mouse should never have actually trusted the cat? Because the cat's always going to be like that? Kind of sounds like victim blaming a little bit to me. Does it say that nature is nature? That's just the way things are. Is it trying to say something more about the human condition? About you and me. Because when we think about it, you wouldn't go to someone who's, say, bullying another person. And you wouldn't go to the person that was being bullied and say, Well, of course, it's your fault. Why did you go near the bully? You knew the bully was going to bully you. So why'd you even try? It's something to think about. Now, some of you probably are asking the question about the fat in the jar. What's that all about? So we've got some young listeners. Now, in the 20th and 21st century, things weren't like today. We didn't have processed fats. We didn't have the technology, the type of foods that we have today. So unless a family owned a cow, they really didn't have much access to butter fat. And lard could be obtained by killing a pig if one owned a pig. But rendering hog fat or pig fat into lard was very time consuming, and it was a very, very messy job. Olive trees, a good source of oil, did not grow well in Northern Europe, and that's where most of these stories were happening. Now, nuts may be used for oil, but again, a lot of manual work was required for a relatively small amount. Grains and seasoned vegetables made up a large percent of people's daily meals, with meat a rarity except for the nobility, the higher-ups, the very rich. A fat, rich source of energy was therefore something that many people craved. That's why that's in the story, because these were collected and eventually printed in 1812. 1812, that's quite a long time ago. That's the year that Canada, or Canadians, went to the United States and burned down the presidential palace. And that's why the White House is now the White House, because it got burnt down and they rebuilt it and painted it white. There's a little bit of random history for you at the same time. So thank you everyone for listening to that episode. I think we're just going to leave it right there. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. We are on Instagram, we are on Twitter, we are on Facebook. You can follow all of those things because it'll let you know when new things are coming out, and we'll have links to other sort of subjects and things that are connected to the episodes for all of you. Also, I know this story is a little dark, and yeah, at the end, it's just saying that's the way the world works. But remember this. You yourself have the power and ability to be kind to others. And you get to choose what you get to do with your body and what you get to do with your life. And part of that means that you have the ability to be kind to others. And when you are kind to others, life is a whole lot better. So please, be kind to each other and stay safe.